This is Amerinds. Hi again, this is Arthur, and I am a gay American now living in New Zealand. Welcome to episode 54 of the Amerinds podcast for Friday, November 16th, 2007. Hope you're all doing well. I've had a pretty busy week, but a good week, all things considered. Tuesday's episode, which was, the last one that I recorded, was a bit longer than I had intended, but it was one of those things where we just started talking and time sort of got away from me, although in fairness to myself, there were a lot of interruptions with all of the noise and everything going on, so I got a bit distracted. I did learn in the course of doing that podcast that if I hit mute, it mutes it for the person I'm talking to on, mutes my microphone for the person I'm talking to on Skype, but it doesn't mute it for Audio Hijack Pro, which is how I record my Skype conversations. Fortunately, I didn't mutter anything under my breath or anything, but I did learn that for future reference. Now, Jason and I do plan on doing some more political podcasts together, although I'm quite sure they will be shorter, generally around the time of the primaries in the U.S. And I've been thinking that other podcasters might want to join in on that, particularly poor Archer, because his guests never let him talk politics on his own show. On the group shows, he never gets to talk politics because nobody else wants to. But be that as it may, today I'm basically just going to give you some updates on a few little bits and pieces going on. On Tuesday's episode, of course, there was all of that pounding and carrying on. And the good news is, of course, that the roofing was finished that day. And on that was Tuesday, my time, when I recorded that. The next day, the man was supposed to come and do the spouting, which is usually called guttering in America. But they were predicting gale force winds and all sorts of storms, and I was thinking, oh, great, he's not going to be coming today. Well, he did. In the early afternoon sometime, it cleared up and got bright, sunny, and hot, and then he arrived and he put up the guttering. He was gone really quite quickly because it was just on the back of the house. It was only one long run. It wasn't, you know, the whole house or anything. So that was done. And then the company that is coordinating all of this, all of the repairs, rang up and they wanted to have somebody come and pick up the scaffolding the next day, which was Thursday. And of course, I was meant to be at the part-time job, so I said, no, can we make it Friday? And as I'm recording this, which is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they still haven't shown up. Although, when they brought the scaffolding, it was late in the day as well. However, it's been raining all day today, so I'm not sure that they're actually going to show up. But we'll see. Now, that means that the repairs are actually all done 4 months after the weather bomb that created the damage in the first place. And it's just a matter now of removing the scaffolding, and then we're completely done with it, finally. And I can get on with tidying up the back, because there's a lot of weeds there that I've been sort of holding off dealing with. Now, of course, the reason that I couldn't allow them to pick up the scaffolding on Thursday was that I was meant to be at the part-time job. And there's a story there. On Thursday morning, I was going through my morning ablutions, and I have blogged about this, by the way, at amerinds.com, although I realize that most of you don't read the blog, so that's why I'm summarizing it. I was doing my morning ablutions, and nothing unusual in that. I was using the hair clippers, and they're stored in the main bathroom, so that's where I was. And I finished that up and then went to do a few things around the house and then went to have my shower. But there's no hot water. We have a continuous flow gas hot water heater, and it wasn't firing, obviously. I tried putting the tap on for a long time, thinking, well, maybe it just needed, some time. Nothing happened. Tried the other taps just to make sure nothing happened. Checked our kitchen tap because it's on a different heater, and that one was fine, so I knew there wasn't a gas problem. I'd also checked our LPG gas bottles out back, and they were full, as I would have expected. And I looked at the hot water heater and couldn't see anything wrong with it. Checked the circuit breaker to make sure that the circuits weren't tripped, because it requires power to ignite. It doesn't have a pilot. It has electronic ignition. So I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? I could not solve it. So I ended up ringing the authorized service agent to come and have a look at it. And they said, oh, well, the earliest we could get there, maybe tomorrow, but possibly not until Monday. And I'm like, we don't have any hot water. Oh, well, if you don't have hot water, then we'll put you on the priority list, she says. Very unfriendly, I might add, but that's another point. And so the guy shows up about 3:30, and he looks at it, and he says, oh, there's no power going to it. So he checks the circuit breaker, which, of course, I already did, and saw that it was on. And so he had me ring up the power company to make sure they hadn't tripped the whatchamacallit circuit. I forgot what it's called. But essentially, the power company sends a signal down the line, which shuts off electric water heaters in times of when there's a huge load, a huge drain on the electricity network. Well, that wasn't the case this time. So he said, "You're going to have to ring an electrician because there's obviously a fault somewhere in the power." So I started ringing the electrician, rang the first one. "Well, sorry, I couldn't possibly come today, and I couldn't come till sometime tomorrow afternoon." "Well, I guess I could come at 8 a.m., which is, of course, too late, because we need the showers in the morning. And so I rang the next one. He said, "Oh, no, I can't come today, but you could try so-and-so." So I rang that person. "Oh, no, I can't come today, but you can try this other person." So I rang that person. And I had to explain it a few times to get him to understand what I wanted, because at first he said, "Oh, that electrician doesn't work on that." But I finally got him to understand it. Then he said, "Do you have a power point," which is usually called electric outlet in America, "do you have a power point in your bathroom?" I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Is it working?" I said, "Oh, I don't know." So I was sort of walking back to check. Thank God I've got a cordless phone. And he said, "Well, a lot of times these hot water heaters are in the same circuit as the bathroom." I said, "Oh, okay." So I went back there. I knew that none of the circuits were tripped, but I went in there anyway. And I looked, and sure enough, the power point was out. And I could tell that because we have a little Vax cordless carpet sweeper thingy plugged in there to keep it charged. And the little light on it was off. And I looked closer, and there's a little blue breaker switch for the ground fault interrupter GFI circuit on there, and it was popped. So I pushed it back in, turned on the hot water tap in the bathroom, and sure enough, the hot water came back. And I said to him, "You know, you're the first person who suggested that." And he said, he laughed, and he said, "There's no charge for that." So what I think happened is, for some reason that morning, when I was done with the clippers, I just pulled them out of the wall when it was still on. And I never do that. I don't know why I did this day. Normally, I switch it off and then switch it off the wall and unplug it. Well, I didn't. I just pulled it out. And I think that was just enough of a little something or other to trip the little GFI breaker. And I didn't realize that. I didn't hear it. I didn't see it because I wasn't looking at it by that point. And I didn't know that the gas hot water heater, the power of that went through this little GFI breaker. Turns out that not only that is, but the bathroom and the ensuite, which is usually called a master bathroom in America, all of those are on the same little trip circuit thingy, little breaker. Now, I didn't notice that because, of course, the lights are on a different circuit, and I didn't use power after I was done with the clippers, and so I didn't notice. So I felt like a right royal Wally, and I thought it was one of the dumbest things I'd done. Although, in fairness to myself, because I didn't know that the hot water heater was on that, there's no reason I would have checked it. And I did check the circuit breaker, and the circuit breaker was fine. But I'm just glad that the guy was able to tell me what to do over the phone before I had an electrician come out and had to pay for that. But I suppose all's well that ends well. And I felt really pretty stupid until today. Long-time listeners may recall that Eric from Confessions of a Southern Boy in Yankee Land and I were bantering back and forth a while ago over our Podomatic rankings, because his Podomatic rankings crept up above mine, and which is fine. I mean, I don't really care that much, to be honest. But I was number two in the Podomatic's own internal rankings of personal journal podcasts, and he was number one. Well, he had problems with Podomatic, major problems with Podomatic, and switched his feed elsewhere and actually moved the podcast as well. Well, because of that, I'm still podcasting and I'm still getting downloads, of course, and so my ranking has gone back up to number one for the daily downloads. And so I was, feeling kind of chuffed about that. And first, I just thought I'd just go over and see what he's talking about on his blog. And I went over there, and he had a little thing on there saying that the reading level on his blog was college, and then in brackets, undergraduate. And he was sort of, he said he thought he was okay with that. So, but it had a little link. You could find out what yours was. So I did that, and mine was, the reading level on my blog was indicated as genius. So that made me feel much smarter than I had been the day before. But I suppose, even geniuses can do stupid things. I mean, they say that Albert Einstein kept having trouble remembering to put his socks on and things like that. But so I think I finally got back at Eric for passing me up in the Podomatic rankings. There's only one comment to mention today, and this is from the episode with Jason. And that's from Archer, who said, glad to hear Jason is back, and you got the roof fixed at the same time. You both do a great job of discussing politics. And I said, thanks, Archer. We hope to do a series in the U.S. elections around the primaries. You should join us, since your guests won't let you talk about politics on your show. And that was that actually just came up on his group show this week, which I was a guest on. And he tried to get some political discussions going, and that didn't go too well. Actually, none of his topics actually ended up taking off this week for some reason. But you know, that happens from time to time. Okay, on to a couple more serious topics. The Australian elections are drawing to a close. The Liberal Party National Party coalition held their campaign launch this past week, and then a couple days later, no, next day, I guess it was, the Australian Labor Party, which is the party of opposition, held their campaign launch. And I have to say that both of them were very underwhelming to me. I mean, granted, I'm not an Australian, so I didn't have any emotional investment, but I didn't think that either one was particularly stirring. I have issues, as you probably remember, and as you could guess, with a lot that the Howard government does and has done. But one of the things that really jarred me was there was a speaker at the Liberal National Coalition launch who was talking about the Labour Party's education plan, and they're calling for an education revolution, and saying that it sounded communist. And I thought, communist? Nobody uses words like that anymore. It just sounded so old-fashioned and so stick-in-the-mud-ish. It was really jarring. Now, there was nothing like that I heard at the Australian Labour Party launch, but I did think to myself that Kevin Rudd, who's the leader of the Australian Labour Party, or ALP, sounded a lot like a U.S. Democrat. He didn't say anything much that was too terribly leftist, although it was a bit, some of it may have been a bit to the left for a U.S. Democrat, but he certainly didn't say anything that would be likely to frighten the horses in America. But as I say, he didn't sound particularly leftist or social democratic as you would expect of a Labour Party. But I mean, ever since Tony Blair, Labour parties have been moving to the center or even slightly to the right sometimes. So I suppose it's not that terribly surprising. Kevin Rudd is from Queensland, and he's a committed Christian, as they say. And for him, he sees the Labour Party as a vehicle for achieving social justice, which is part of the way he sees his faith, but he's not a progressive on social issues. It just means that he is working for fairness and all those kinds of things. Well, be that as it may, the election will soon be over, and I'll talk a little bit about that when it actually happens. And I've also talked a couple of times now about the terrorism raids in New Zealand. And the whole thing has become a bit of a farce in some respects. There's been a poll that was conducted that showed that essentially people's reactions to it reinforced their own existing prejudices. If they distrusted the police, they were inclined to believe that the whole thing was not true and the police were overreacting. If they tended to support the police, then they tended to believe that there was something to the charges, or if they didn't like Maori or Maori activists in particular. Well, there have been a lot of Maori activists, and the Maori Party among them, who have been promoting this as some sort of anti-Maori activity on the part of the police, even though the vast majority of the people arrested were of European descent, what in New Zealand is generally called Pākehā, which is sort of means white people, kind of, but not really. And some Maori activists held what's called hikoi, which is sort of like a march, protest march, to Parliament. And the main point of it was in opposition to the passage of the amendments to the Suppression of Terrorism Act. Well, they weren't even anywhere near Wellington yet when the bill was already coming up for a vote. They got their timing wrong somehow. And they were pulled over by the police partway along, because one of the cars was driving on the wrong side of the road. And some of the people who were taking part got really quite agitated, and they started punching the TV cameras that were there and shoving the reporters and the police. And the police eventually withdrew, and then things calmed down. They carried on their way. But I thought to myself when I was watching this, now, I don't have any firm opinions on this whole thing. I tend to believe that the police were overreacting, but I have a bit of an open mind. I mean, if the police weren't overreacting, then they should be presenting their evidence. But I couldn't help thinking to myself that the Maori activists who were protesting so much don't have a clue how to handle PR, because many of them had scarves around their faces, but you know, from the nose down was hidden. They had beanies on their head down to their eyebrows, and they were wearing dark sunglasses. It made them look like they were criminals. And some of them were saying outrageous things, but you know, you get that. That's not that big a drama. But the shoving of the camera, I mean, if they really believe that the police and the New Zealand government are out to get them, you'd think that they would want the cameras to be seeing it so that the whole world is watching kind of thing. Instead of attacking the media, they should be trying to invite the media in and make friends with the media so that their concerns will be aired on television. But instead, they attack the media. So whoever is in charge of these protesters really seriously needs to take a PR course, because they're just not getting it. And if they really want to get support of the New Zealand public, they're going to have to try different tactics, because what they're doing is not working. But that's my little editorial on that whole subject. And unless something dramatic happens, I'm probably not going to mention it again, because the terrorism charges will not be proceeding, and they're just going to be held, they're just going to be tried on ordinary gun and similar charges. And unless it becomes another issue, I don't really expect to mention it. Now, on Tuesday's episode, I'm going to be talking a bit more about being an expat, what it means, what you can expect, you know, some of the things that changed over time. And this is as part of a listener request that I'll talk about more on Tuesday. But I don't know at this stage if I'm going to be doing a podcast on Friday, because Friday in New Zealand, of course, is Thursday in America, and that's Thanksgiving Day. And it's probably the one American holiday that I still do observe. So I haven't really decided yet. I still want to talk to Nigel, see if he wants to invite his sister around and do a little Thanksgiving dinner, as I sometimes do on Thanksgiving, oddly enough. So we'll see. But if I do have that, I may not actually record a podcast. So I'm just giving you fair warning that there may not be a podcast on Friday. But I'll talk about that a bit more on Tuesday, and also about how I observe Thanksgiving in New Zealand, because it is different when you're on the other side of the world. And this week, too, I was on Archer's group show, which the first part was Thursdays, and of course the second is Fridays, which is also today, also being released today. And it was an interesting show. I mean, poor Archer tried to get topics going that ended up not going anywhere, but it happens. Big Fatty seems to have it in for me because I live in New Zealand. He won't play any of my podcasts on Match the Podcasters, but he also says it's because I don't say anything interesting, basically, which I thought was pretty damn rude, I have to say. But it's also because I don't talk about naughty things like some of the other podcasters do, I suppose. Be that as it may, I am going to wrap this up now, have a short episode for you. On one of Archer's recent shows, he was talking about Bill O'Reilly, who had been his usual self in a discussion with a psychologist about two lesbians who were designated the cutest couple in their school. Well, I can't stand Bill O'Reilly. I mean, I think I've talked about him before. I've certainly blogged about him. And I think he's an idiot, as most sane people do. I, however, don't have any clue whether he means anything that he says or if he's just basically a media whore who's saying the most outrageous things he can think of in order to get attention and therefore more money. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But anybody who makes fun of him in my book is okay. So the closing music today is by David Ippolito from the Podsafe Music Network, and it's called Bill O'Reilly, The Legend of the Big Giant Head. And there's nothing after that. It's about 3 minutes and 6 seconds, I think. So if you're one of those people who doesn't listen to opening and closing music, feel free to stop once the music starts, because there's nothing after that. But although, do give it a listen. I think it's quite funny. And that's it for this Friday episode. Leave a comment on my blog, amrins.com, where I'm currently running a poll on whether Christmas is better in hot weather or cold weather. And that poll is running all week long, because I realize that many of you in America will be away for the holiday, so I'm giving you extra time. And you can also send an email to me at amrins@yahoo.com, or you can leave a comment on my listener line, which is in the U.S. 206-339-8413. And that's it for this Friday episode of the Amrins Podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I'll be back on Tuesday. Bye.
From a village called Westbury in a suburb of New York, came a walking, talking ego, partly pit bull, partly dork. This boy named Billy learned to be belligerent and crass from his meager, tough beginnings in the upper middle class.
That's your opinion.
From private school to private school, young Billy did enroll, where he honed his personality to help him reach his goal. He'd even host a tasteless tabloid show along the way, reversing evolution, so he's what he is today.
Bill O'Reilly finally found a home when Fox News came along, a place where he was free to be shallow, loud, and wrong. Create things you should be frightened of, then tell you who to blame. Find the worst in humankind, and that's how he became
a liar, ladies and gentlemen, on national television.
Shut up!
He's got this show on cable now with people tuning in. It's really quite amazing how they buy his shallow spin. You see, for pseudo-intellectuals, it's simply great TV as he reaches each new level of right-wing hypocrisy.
Most of them are downright stupid.
There's no telling who he might attack. That Bill is such a liar. The victim of a pedophile or of a tragic fire. An expert with an angry word or a loofah in a bath. Why, once his lapdog named Geraldo even felt his wrath.
Hold it, pal.
Bill O'Reilly finally found a home when Fox News came along. The main fact on the factor is the facts are often wrong. Slander those who can't defend themselves without an ounce of shame. Make everything about himself, and that's how he became.
Vicious, and that is with a capital V, person who's blinded by ideology.
You might be someone who'll dig it. You might be O'Reilly's kind, especially if you're a bigot with a closed and tiny mind.
Shut
up! If you have no use for reason, then you'll love the way he acts, and he'll tell you what you want to hear, regardless of the facts.
They're not facts.
Bill O'Reilly finally found a home when Fox News came along, a place he could ignore the truth and get the facts all wrong. Faced with the truth he can't refute, then he'll call you a name.
You're a lunatic.
He'll thumb his nose, the legend goes that that's how he became.
A snide, condescending idiot.
The big giant head. The big giant head.
This kind of stuff is rejected by most sane people, but gullible people absorb it.